You're listening to the All In IT Radio. Join us as we talk about everything related to information technology and some other random stuff as well. Help us try to find how IT relates to each and every one of us and what's really behind the story headlines. We are Swedes and we talk tech. And that's the newest episode of All in IT Radio that's streaming to you through your earbuds or
through your Lautsprecher, as they say in Germany.
Right, I just forgot the English word, thank you. We are here once more.
Please forgive us, but we are here once again.
Yes, whatever he said. Oh, this is going really badly, isn't it?
Are you tired?
I'm just a little bit off today, yes I am. It's been a long day.
Filled with hard work?
Exactly, a lot of hard work. Still, we are here and we will entertain you.
Well, at least try.
So what will we talk about today?
Today we will take a bit of a recap from FSCons.
That's correct. And we didn't really talk that much about FSCons before it occurred.
No.
And when we went there, at least I was, I don't know, it took me a while to recover because it was a very intense weekend.
Mm.
So now is probably a good time to look back, recapitulate what we heard and saw there.
Yeah.
But first off, we should really listen to a short little segment that we recorded on the spot. There in Gothenburg at the IT University, and it was a bit hard to find a quiet place to be able to record. As always, the sound quality when you are out in the field, so to speak, is not perfect, but I think you'll hear what we say.
Hopefully.
So, what do you say? Should we start this off with listening to what we said?
Yeah, sure. Over to the cubbyhole at IT University in Gothenburg.
Right, over to us.
So, hello and welcome to All in IT Radio. We are doing a live show this weekend. We are at FSCons, last day here. And with me, I have also Kenneth, of course.
Of course, I'm here.
What's your experience of this so far?
My experience so far, well, it's been great. I really love being here. I get to meet a lot of interesting people. I get to hear a lot of interesting talks. So I just feel right at home.
Have you met anyone in particular?
If you heard my episode at Hacker Public Radio, you might remember that I had an interview with Jeremiah Foster.
Yeah.
He works in collaboration with the Linux Foundation and with the Genevi Alliance and such. So he works with software, free software in cars, and he was here this year as well. He told me that he listened to my interview from last year, and that made him, that affected how he presented this year. So hopefully I will get another interview with him today.
Yeah,
I hope I get to run into him. He promised that if we saw each other we would record another interview, and that's something I really look forward to.
Yeah, okay. So are you going to contribute with anything for yourself to this event, or?
I am by nature a bit lazy, but of course I contribute by just being here and reporting the event. There aren't that many examples of real media attention here, unfortunately. I can't really call myself real media, I mean this is a podcast. But I do record for both All in IT Radio and for Hacker Public Radio. So I will be contributing that way. But there are also an open slot for Lightning Talks this afternoon.
Yeah.
And I will be there. I will give a talk for 5 minutes about podcasting, of course.
Ooh, of course.
So I get to do some shameless self-promotion and tell everyone about All in IT Radio, but also, of course, about Hacker Public Radio.
Sounds splendid.
And you?
Well, I will contribute with a lightning talk as well, actually.
About what? About what could you possibly tell people that would be interesting?
Well, that's a good question, actually. Yeah, but I came to think about that I must talk about typefaces. funds, because this is an area that I care so much about, but you and the other hackers here don't. And it's hard to find free fonts, free Creative Commons licensed fonts that you can use in your projects. So we'll enlighten them a bit.
All right. Sounds like a real need, actually. I can agree with that. All right, have you prepared anything?
A few slides and a very analog abstract written by hand.
Well, good enough, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just 5 minutes. Right.
So, what will you look forward to in the program today?
Do you have a program?
I had a program. But I don't any longer.
All right. Well, I look forward to the keynote, of course. I don't know this person, but I know that she was a keynote speaker in 2009 as well. I wasn't here then.
Mm.
So that will be interesting. I mean, if they invite someone back, that must be good, right?
Yeah.
And of course, the lightning talks this evening will be interesting. But then we also have Matthias Klang.
Mm.
He's a teacher here at IT University in Gothenburg. I've taken a few courses for him, of him, by him.
Yeah.
What's the right pronoun?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He has held a few courses that I attended.
Mm.
And he usually is very entertaining to listen to.
Yeah.
He's a former lawyer and he has done a lot of work with Creative Commons.
Mm.
So that will be interesting. And generally, well, every time slot there is at least one, often two, talks that really intrigue me, that I really want to hear.
Mm.
So it won't be boring, I can tell you that.
Sounds promising.
It does.
I think we're about to finish here. So do we have anything to look forward to in the next All Night Radio episode? Are we having any interviews or anything in particular that you want to address to the listeners? It hasn't been got to be exclusive content, but something that will air on All Night Radio.
Yes, of course. Well, the thing is, most of the interviews that I do here,
yeah,
I will include in a few Hacker Public Radio shows, and a few of them doesn't really fit there.
Mm-hmm.
So I will use those in All In IT Radio, and some of them we will rebroadcast as well, I believe. It depends on what the topic for the night for us is.
Mm-hmm.
So if we actually want to cover some grounds that some of the speakers I've interviewed has a relationship to.
Mm.
Of course, we will use that material. And I believe that we will take a bit of a more in-depth look at what we listen to in a future show as well.
Mm.
If you don't mind?
No, not at all.
To actually discuss what each and everyone addressed in their talks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So us being at FSCons will have repercussions for the AIITR listeners for quite a while.
So there you go. You actually have something to look forward to for once.
For once, yes.
For once in this podcast.
It's a bit of foreshadowing. Keep tuned, everyone.
Bye for now.
And that was us, live, directly from FSCons. Weeks ago, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, we are actually now going to take a look at the schedule for FSCons, because we have found them now, we know where they are.
I have them in my hand. I will never lose them again.
And I have found it on the internet, and I'll actually put a link in the show notes, I think, so you can follow along as well if you like. This year there were 4 tracks, that is, there were 4 different rooms where there were different themes, and the themes were for track number 1, free software in politics, track number 2, development for embedded systems, track number 3, free desktop environments, and track number 4, the future of money. And this is, of course, the Saturday, which actually is the second day. We weren't there, neither one of us, on the Friday when there were a lot of workshops, so we can't really talk about that.
But we checked in late at the evening and took a bit of a look at the cafeteria, and we talked at least to a few people from FFKP, in Swedish, abbreviation.
True, we actually did. It was interesting to do a bit of recon, to get the lay of the land, as they say. But, nevertheless, at 10:00 in the morning, 1000. No, that's not it. At 10 in the morning on the Saturday, the 12th of November, we stood there, you and me and another one of our friends, who we've mentioned before, Jonathan.
Yep.
And we met some other friends there as well.
I met an old classmate, actually.
An old classmate, yeah?
Yep.
And what was the first thing we chose to listen to?
We chose to listen to about development for embedded systems, and we went to room number 2 and listened to Jeremiah C. Foster, where he talked about, I can give you the topic, embedded free software / open source in your car. So basically he talked about what we talked about with U1 a few episodes back, about IVI, infotainment systems in vehicles.
Right, and he talked about that last year as well, and I think I mentioned that in the segment we recorded at FSCons.
Mm.
And I didn't ever get to catch him during the conference, so I missed a second interview with him, unfortunately. But we've had some
correspondence,
communication via Google Plus, and I think I'll be able to catch him for an interview further along, hopefully.
Mm.
So what did you think about the talk?
It's sad to say that I don't remember that much from it, but the picture I got from what he said is that, well, I was a bit surprised actually, because I didn't think that that many companies were interested in open source infotainment systems. So it was a bit of a new thought to me.
Yes, I found it very interesting as well. It really is a fascinating part of the free and open source world that you rarely hear anything about.
Because the picture he painted, as far as I interpreted it, was that many different companies, many different car companies who are competitors in their respective market, so to speak, when they're selling their cars, they still communicate and work together over the borders on these infotainment systems as they are open source.
Right, and it was really interesting to see that since he had listened to my interview with him from last year, he actually answered some of the questions that I raised. So I actually didn't have that many questions when we were done with the talk. Usually I always have a few. One of the thoughts I had, which someone else spoke out about, was that since cars don't really, you don't change your car every third year, every second year.
Mm.
A car is meant to
live at least a decade.
At least, or perhaps 3.
Yeah.
So an in-vehicle infotainment system will have to
keep them fresh.
Have that kind of lifespan. Yeah, exactly. And even if you bring it into the shop and they update it, it still has to be renewable in some way.
Mm.
And I've heard the suggestion that perhaps you should have, I don't know, sort of a box that you attach to the car somewhere inside, which you can exchange for a newer model.
Mm. Yeah.
But my thought is, why not build a system which is standardized that really just ties into the piece of equipment, the technology that you always carry with you and you always make sure is updated, which is your phone.
Mm.
So that there is a small system in the car, of course, to handle the screens and the GPS and such, but it's really just a way to get your phone's capacity on a bigger screen.
Yeah.
But that is really perhaps a conversation for another time.
Basically, what he said about the pros and cons of this is that there are very many positive sides of this. The development are going very well, as far as I remember him say. But the big drawback is security, which still is a big problem for them to solve. How will they deal with the security for the infotainment system and the software connected to the automobile itself? But that's very interesting to see how it will develop, how it will turn out to be in, say, 5 years, because infotainment systems are basically here right now, but how will they develop in terms of security?
Yes, that is interesting. And when we had Should Cars Be Smarter episode 0007, we talked a lot about about the security in the car, and he almost brushed that away as unimportant. He said that there are very intelligent people working on this, and we don't really have to worry about that part of the equation, because they are thinking actively about the security. And that, well, it feels good to hear that from someone who actually knows about these things. All right, moving on then. Where did we go next?
We actually stayed in the same room at the next beach.
Right, we stayed in the same room and we listened to a man known as Johan Tellin.
And he spoke about something called Necessitas. Qt on Android. Or Qt, perhaps.
And it was rather interesting. He said that at first he thought about taking his 45 minutes to show how to install Necessitas and get the development environment up and running. But since that didn't take more than 3 or 4 minutes, he actually had to talk about something else. So he made a presentation and told us about how the work of getting Qt on the Android platform were progressing. And as far as I could understand and gather, it's almost done and it works great. He showed us a demonstration, he showed us how to do it, and it was really, really impressive.
Yeah.
Normally, you develop Qt with a program known as Qt Developer. No, sorry, Qt Creator is the name of the program. And it's a software development platform. It's a program you run where you can write code and compile it to create a Qt powered program. You can, of course, use any IDE, that is, development environment you want. It doesn't really matter, but Qt Creator is especially made for this. And there were a couple of special libraries he used, and you have to target the specific version of Android. But other than that, you could use Qt Quick, the sort of scripting language. Or you could use ordinary C++ or whatever programming language you are used to, which has a tie-in to Qt, and you can compile it into an application ready to be uploaded and sold on
the App Store,
the Android marketplace.
Yeah, sorry.
Right, and I was very impressed with this, and it's something I will have a look at in more detail in the future.
Yeah, even for me, as not being a programmer, Qt really sounds, it sounds very interesting and looks very interesting. So I'd love to spend some time with it and at least see what it, see what it's about. See what about it that makes it stand apart from other similar programming languages. Is Qt a programming language or is it a library?
No, it's just a library.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, when I look at the schedule, after Johan Tellin's presentation, I didn't attend any. Yes, that's true. That's because I got an interview with him. So I actually missed the next section.
We were supposed to go to room number one and listen to Free Software in the Swedish Public Sector by Daniel Melin.
Right.
But yeah, you got an interview with Tellin instead.
True. And, of course, all of these talks will be available on Vimeo as soon as they are able to get them there.
Yeah.
It takes some time to edit it all, but still, it will be there, so I will catch that later. And then there was lunch, and after lunch we had the first day's keynote, which was titled Dialogue with Richard Stallman.
Could you perhaps take a few seconds to describe Richard Stallman? Who is he? Because maybe not all of our listeners know Richard Stallman.
Sure. Richard Stallman is... how to describe him? He looks and sounds like someone who hasn't realized that the 70s has come and gone.
True.
People have described him as a hippie.
A loony.
That as well. And he has very strong...
opinions.
Opinions, exactly. He is one of the founders of the free and open source software movement. No, sorry, that's wrong of me. He is the founder of the free software movement, not the open source movement, which came later. And there are distinct differences between these movements, but we can get into that some other time. He actually started the work to get a completely free operating system called GNU, which was
1983.
And it was short for GNUs, not Unix.
Ah.
So it reminded you of, it was inspired by the Unix operating system, which was more or less the only thing you had back then.
Mm.
And since then, Linus Torvalds Linux kernel has completed the system. But he also started with the first free software licenses, the GPL, the GNU Public License, and he created one of the most used text editors and programming editors known as Emacs.
So that's Richard Stallman in a nutshell, more or less.
True.
But what did he talk about at FSCons?
Well, normally he travels around and talks about his more or less political agenda. He talks about how he wants software to be free. And this was a bit different. He was actually sitting down, being quite relaxed, and talking to a woman named Laura Creighton. And she interviewed him about things that he usually does not talk about. And that is his life in the university environment, the pranks that he used to pull on his friends and the dusty old teachers at the university he attended, and a lot of other things that were of a more personal nature. And it was very nice to see him this relaxed and at ease. Have you seen Richard Stallman before?
No, this was the first time. I've seen part of... I recognized his last part of this dialogue, as I've seen it online before.
All right. He was here, he's been here in Gothenburg a couple of times before at least, and a few years ago I saw him, and let me put it like this, he wasn't, you wouldn't describe him as at ease back then. He was quite on edge, rather, and a bit rough around the edges. He wasn't really interacting that well with the audience and people asking questions. But this time he was a joy to listen to, and I really liked it. Mm. It was interesting.
So yeah, moving on to the second part of Saturday. What did we attend?
Nothing.
We didn't? No, that's right, we weren't there.
So after lunch, after the keynote, we actually had other engagements, so we weren't there. There were a lot of interesting things that we would have attended if we could. Theming GTK applications with CSS was interesting. Free software in education was really something I would have liked to attend but couldn't. And of course the Lightning Talks, which ended the day, the program for the day at 18:15. But as I said, we weren't there.
Wait a second. We did attend the Lightning Talks that evening because Jonathan held two Lightning Talks, one about his program VSXU and one about some other GUI, UMVC, whatever it was called.
Right, you're quite right.
And you did some interviews later at the social event, as far as I know.
I got a few interviews as well, that's true. And the Lightning Talks weren't recorded, as far as I know. So we won't be able to hear Jonathan talk about VSXU and the other thing, whatever it is.
That's okay. We can invite him to the All Night Radio and he can tell us again.
Sure, if he will accept an invitation, perhaps we can get him on the air. So, all right, is it okay to move on to Sunday now?
Yep.
All clear. Then we get a sleep-in. We didn't attend the first...
Yeah.
We weren't there at 10 because we were enjoying ourselves on the Saturday evening, so we felt that we needed an extra hour of sleep in the morning. So we actually showed up for...
I don't think we attended anything at 11 o'clock either.
No. Jonathan was to Algol 68, wasn't he?
No, I think he wanted to, but I don't think we ever got there until 12.
Are you sure?
Well, at least we didn't listen to anything at 11. Perhaps we were there, but wasn't that the time when we recorded our little snippet that we heard just a second ago?
Right, true. We were recording then. But I'm quite certain that Jonathan was listening to bringing Algol 68 forward to its own time.
Yeah, maybe he went to that, but we recorded instead.
True, you and I recorded. That's the thing. All right.
So, next up.
That would be... The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, But Will It Be on YouTube? By Karin Kosina... something, something.
I think they only mentioned her as Kyra.
True. They called her Kyra. So that's probably her online name. Kyra. The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, But Will It Be on YouTube? And what do you have to say about that one?
I was a bit surprised, actually, because she didn't talk that much about YouTube at all. She more or less talked about social media as a whole. And, well, she started out talking about the revolutions in the Egypt and Libya and Tunisia. And, well, she basically said that in Western media, Facebook and Twitter and other social media has be given the credit of being the mediums that people used to organize themselves in this revolution. But, as she pretty much said, these social medias were early on being censored and they were monitored. So, I don't remember this exactly, but I think she said that people didn't use social media so that much that people think, at least not in text form. But that's the tagline in the topic. Will it be on YouTube? Because it's not the same if you spread out the word and you're try to organize yourself via moving pictures, via video. It's not that easy to search through and censor as text is. Am I correct?
And she really, yeah, sure. She really downplayed the headlines we've been reading, which said that at least the Egypt revolution was a Twitter revolution or a social media. It wasn't like that, because the governments in these countries are not that stupid that they don't monitor the social networks. So people can't really use them in that way. But there are other ways to use technology, which she mentioned a bit about, and encryption and such. And it was quite interesting. She gave an interesting perspective on the subject.
The most interesting for me by listening to this topic is that everything that the news and the media write and say may not be 100% correct. Because often you at least base your opinions or your thoughts on the headlines and what the media say. But sometimes it can be very far from the truth.
And that is a lesson we all should carry with us. Don't believe everything you read, don't believe everything you see.
We have a very beautiful Swedish word, it's called källkritik.
True.
The best translation would be criticism of the sources.
And as avid internet users, we have to criticize all the sources we see. We can't just take anything at face value, because often it's colored by the views of the person who are telling us what we're listening to. And while we're on that subject, I just might mention that in this podcast, we do not represent any political view.
Yeah.
We, neither me nor you, are taking a political stance.
That's right.
So when we tell you what these people think and what they said in their talks, it doesn't necessarily represent our views. Or it doesn't represent our views. It's their views as we have interpreted them. Just to get that out there. Okay, then it was time for lunch and the second day's keynote. It was Kristina Haralanova, and the keynote's name was...
Hackers for Social Justice.
Right, Hackers for Social Justice. And Haralanova was there earlier in 2009, as I've mentioned. She is from Canada, Montreal. She is a PhD candidate in communications, and she is Right, when I look here at her information, it actually says that she's been a trainer in Drupal. That is a content management system we as web designers use quite a lot.
Yeah.
She's a part of the Montreal hackerspace, so she really is a hacker. And she also works with equality and feminism in the hacker community.
Mm.
And that was mostly what her keynote was about, how we have a rather heterogeneous group and community, at least by appearance. But the fact is that we have a lot of people from different places, and both men and women, people of a lot of skills and lesser skills. We have the noobs, the newbies, and we have the old experienced hackers.
But shouldn't it be homogeneous then? It looks like it's homogeneous, but it actually is heterogeneous.
You might have a point there.
Homogeneous, the same, alike, heterogeneous, diverse, different, mixed.
Sure, the appearance is that it is the same, that it is
a homogeneous
male,
culture.
White, Western country citizens, as it says in the description. But it really isn't like that. Anyone can be a part of the hack culture. Everyone is actually welcome. And how do we go about making sure that everyone feels welcome in the community? As you talked a bit about, how do you dare to
address
approach an older, more experienced hacker, the people you actually read about in the textbooks when you try to learn how to code or how to secure your network, and that they are there, they are in the community and accessible, so we can actually talk to them. And it's not that hard, it's not that scary. And we have a really huge advantage there that we can approach anyone. We can talk to everyone in the community.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what gender they have, it doesn't matter how many years they have been in the community, it doesn't matter anything really. So there is a potential for true equality in the hacker community. And she talked a bit about how that can actually improve the overall society.
Mm-hmm.
That is, how we as a hacker community can make contributions to society, if I understood her correctly.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much what she said, yeah. How you address a broader public, how you polish the surface of the hacker community for other people.
Right.
PR relations, both inside and outside.
Something like that, yeah, sure. All right, moving on. We have Werner Koch.
I think it was from Germany, so it would be Werner Koch.
Werner Koch, all right. And he talked about Steed, Sadlab for instant encryption. And this was interesting since it was an example of a project which isn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's not done. It's not available to use as such. And I think that we will that's my German. We will actually dedicate a show to this in a not too far away future. So let's not talk more about that at the moment. What happened next? It was 1615. What did we listen to then?
We moved up. We moved to room number 4 and listened to... Well, his name is not printed in my program, so you might...
Niklas Park.
Niklas Park, yeah. Niklas Park. And he talked about... Well, the topic is tutorial on free software tools for production of leaflets and other print material. And he basically talked about free software for people who work with graphic design, printing design, web design also, actually. He glanced a bit on the free alternatives to Adobe's famous programs, Photoshop, Illustrator, and InDesign. So we mentioned GIMP, Inkscape, and Scribus. And the last one was what he mainly talked about, how you use Scribus. At least we got a printed manual for how to make your own leaflet in Scribus and get it printed and all working. But yeah, he also talked a bit about the basic knowledge you have to grasp if you want to work with print design versus graphic design on screen. If you're working on with print as well, the difference, for example, between RGB red, green, blue colors and SMYK.
No, C.
Cyan, magenta, yellow, and key color.
Right.
The difference in how they work with with the light and other basic knowledge that you have to comprehend to delve into printing media, as Scribus is intended for.
And he was quite entertaining as well as...
Informative.
Informative, true. And I would like to mention, since he talked about color management and calibrating your screen,
mm-hmm.
he had one of those screen calibrators with him.
Yeah.
He tried to show how it worked, but it didn't work at
yeah.
the moment.
Yeah, I remember.
Interestingly enough. I just would like to mention that the podcast Linux Outlaws,
mm-hmm.
don't worry, it's not about real outlaws, episode 239
mm-hmm.
was released on December the 1st. It's a long interview with a man called Richard Hughes, who has done a lot of work on color management in the GNOME Windows system.
Mm-hmm.
And he has also created an open hardware project known as Color Hug, interestingly enough. So it's an open hardware project to create a color calibration device.
Okay.
So I will put a link to that in the show notes if you're at all interested in color calibration. Have a listen to that, because...
It's a very fascinating hobby, actually. I might pick it up sometime. Spending my days calibrating screens.
He spoke about how much these things cost.
Mm, yeah.
It's really expensive.
Yeah. Over 9,000, actually.
And he told us how little they actually cost to manufacture, but you have to have really specific and special instruments, which are really expensive, to make them work, because you have to calibrate the screen calibrators.
Mm.
But anyway, if you're interested in that, go listen to Linux Outlaws. All right. That was Niklas Park. And after that, we had the last official talk at 17:15. Yes, of course, it was Matthias Klang. Off the grid, is anonymity possible? What do you remember from that talk?
I remember as much as... Don't get me wrong here, I remember much, but I can't really express myself in English yet. Matthias himself was very energetic, to say the least. He was all over the place while having his talk. It was very fun and easy to listen to, as he magnified or looked on the different problems with the modern society, or at least what it has become, in terms of anonymity. Which he spoke of. I can't really remember any specific things he talked about, so you might want to refresh my memory.
I can say that he has shifted a bit, because he held one of the keynotes last year,
mm.
and he was a bit more serious back then, so he has shifted a bit from enlightening to entertaining, perhaps.
Mm.
Because it was very entertaining, but it wasn't that deep as it was last year.
Yeah.
And he had a really interesting discussion last year. But then again, that was just after lunch. This was the last talk of the conference, the last day, and everyone was a bit tired.
Mm.
So perhaps we should just be happy that he actually did it a bit lighter. And he spoke a lot about how we, in our everyday, are giving up our anonymity,
mm.
how we are being tracked. And one of his pet peeves is that the railroads here in Sweden, SJ, are actually demanding that you give them your personal identification number, social security number,
yeah,
in the USA, and, well, sure, something like that. We have a number. Every person in Sweden has a number. We've got your number. Your number's up. Okay, so you have to give this to the train company,
yeah.
if you want to book a ticket,
mm.
which makes it very easy to track you and your movements.
Yeah.
Now, Matthias is always on Twitter, and he tells the whole world where he is going all the time.
But he wants to choose when and where he chooses to address this.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. You have the right to anonymity, or should have. So if you want to breach that right or waive that right and tell the world where you are, sure, you have it, but it should be your choice to make.
Mm.
That's about what he said.
Yeah, after that it was time once again for Lightning Talks. Second round.
Right, the second session. And Lightning Talk Man this time was, as always on these conferences, the Lightning Talk Man. His name is Harald Armin Massa, but he doesn't use that name. He goes by his pseudonym. And both you and I...
I actually entered his website right now, lightningtalkman.com. I remember he told you when you interviewed him that you can go to lightningtalkman.com, but you won't find anything because it's not ready yet. But I actually found something. It's two little words up in the top left corner of the screen, which says, Herzlich Willkommen.
And when I take a look at the source for his webpage, it actually validates. He has taken the trouble
to... two words.
True. All right, interesting. He was a very interesting and entertaining man, so he managed to keep the audience hot between the lightning talks because there were a bit of setup time to get the computer working as each new lightning talker entered the stage.
Yeah.
And both me and you were scheduled for a lightning talk.
Yeah, the lightning talk man's brain must be as fast working as a modern processor. Because I remember when you were preparing your lightning talk, he asked you if you were ready, and you said far from ready. And instantly he said to the audience, well, then I will tell you a story about how it's to be far from ready. And he just talked about mumble jumble in 5 minutes. And the story itself wasn't really that funny, but the way he told it made everyone just... I was going to say bath, but I don't mean bath. I mean laugh out.
Burst out with laughter.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd love to see more of him in other conferences.
He was quite funny. And my talk was about podcasting, of course. I managed to record it.
Yeah, you
did. So I might actually play it in some way or form on this podcast. I don't know how or when yet, but we'll get to that. And then as I was able to breathe again, got down from the stage and let my brain shift gears to looking forward to hearing you speak, I got a bit disappointed.
Because you didn't get to hear me speak.
True. Why?
I was sitting up there and was all ready and waiting for my turn. But unfortunately, as he said before every lightning talk session, the Lightning Talks is about speaking about whatever you want for 5 minutes, as long as it's only 5 minutes. So, we had 30 minutes to go, that would be six different topics, and I was hoping to be the last topic, but one guy had very, very big problems with getting his setup working, so they throwed in another guy who didn't have any slides, any presentations. So to talk about, I think it was Bitcoin, for a few minutes while the other guy was preparing. And when he was ready, he held his lightning talk. And then, unfortunately, the time was up. We were done, so I never had my lightning talk. But I was going to talk about something that I thought that I can contribute with to the free software culture and the people who were there. Specifically free typefaces, because that's one thing that I care much about, but you don't. And when I say you, I mean you, Kenneth.
Personally, all right, thank you. No, you're presenting me in a rather unfavorable light here. I do care, I just don't understand it one bit.
Well, then you have to remember a typeface, or at least a weight of a typeface, say Times New Roman, the normal weight, not the italic or bold, is about between 10 or 15 kilobytes, so it's far from a bit. So I can understand why you not comprehend typefaces if your memory is only room for one bit. So we'll have to work on that.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I was going to talk a little about the possibilities today with free typefaces and what free typefaces that are available. well-made free typefaces that people can use in their projects, apart from the standard console typefaces and Arial and Times and the common ones. But unfortunately, I didn't get to speak about that, as I said, so I hope that I will get to speak about it at FSCons 2012.
And we'll just have to make sure that you sign up as one of the first, so you won't be left out.
That's right.
So that was a brief summation of FSCons 2011.
Yeah, and we didn't even mention what we ate for lunch.
Oh, that's too bad. What did we eat for lunch?
The first day, Saturday, I remember that I ate at least half a pizza, rest of the half later at evening. Jonathan ate a burger, but I can't remember what you had.
No, me neither.
Maybe you had
probably a burger.
Was it? Wasn't a kebab?
So. Nope, don't think so. And the second day?
Good question, actually. Didn't we travel to the local supermarket?
We didn't leave. We didn't go anywhere special. We went to the supermarket. But Jonathan, he went off for pizza again.
Yeah, he lost us.
True, but you and I and that old school friend of yours, we went to the local supermarket.
Yep.
All right. And you think this is essential information for those listening?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
all right.
The reason you listen to anything in particular, I mean, a normal conversation, is to get the information out of the other person. What do you eat?
For someone so obsessed with talking about food, you don't look it, if you catch my drift.
But?
To be...
I see. You're making fun of my body weight.
True.
So it would be the other way around, you mean? That you would... should talk a bit about much about food.
It would be easier to understand in my case.
Mm.
Okay, but...
All right. I'll leave... Well, you have to promise me this at least. One episode of All Night Radio, once, whenever it may be, we will dedicate to talk about food and its relation to information technology.
We just might do that.
And I will look forward to it.
So FSCons 2011 was a success, and we will recommend anyone who has the opportunity to attend it to attend the 2012 edition of FSCons as well. And as always, we welcome your input.
Your opinion are our life buoy.
What?
Well, without our listeners' opinions, we will... inevitably drown in all the podcasts that are broadcasted all around the week. So if we don't hear from our listeners, we don't know they exist. And if we don't know our listeners exist, we will not have a motivation to do episode number 0014. Do you get me now?
I have to admit, I'm a bit confused, but I think I follow your reasoning. Suffice to say, yes... everyone's comments are important to us, and get in touch with us through the usual means. Meet up with us on Google Plus. We have a Google Plus page, aiit.se/radio/plus, and that's the plus sign if you want to get there. And also catch us on Twitter and Identicat. Or send us a mail, show@aiit.se.
Yep. Or visit Kenneth at his home address in Gothenburg.
Thank you, I will pass on that one. So we'll see you again soon, and of course, as always, we want to mention the lovely music we heard in the intro, and you will hear just in a moment. It was made by Jason Shaw. He has released it under Creative Commons 3.0 USA license, and you can find it at the Free Music Archive, which you'll find a link to in the show notes. The name of the song was very suitable. It was Tech Talk.
And it was beautiful.
It was. It was very interesting. And we hope to hear a lot more interesting songs in the coming episodes. So, from us all to you all.
A very merry evening.
Have
a good life. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.